Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is 6:44, 16 before 7. Tommy Tucker, WWL. Our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll is asking you about coronavirus testing, and that is, have you ever taken a coronavirus test? Have you gotten one? You can log on to WWL.com. As it stands now, I can tell you that the results are 82% are saying no, 18% are saying yes. My kid had one taken. I don't know if I should say this or not. I'm not trying to discourage anybody. Had one taken at a drive-through thing in North Louisiana, and the first thing they told her was to sit on her hands. And she said, why? And then they said, well, just sit on your hands. And they did. And then they put that nasopharyngeal swab up in there. And the first inclination, I guess, a human reaction is to grab it, which is the last thing in the world you want to do while somebody has that up your nose. So that's why they ask you to sit on your hands. Text me, if you will, please, at 504-260-1870. If you've had any testing done at a drive-through location and they asked you to sit on your hands, because sometimes that kid, she just pulls my leg. David Schultz joins us, professor of political science at Hamline University. How you doing, David?
I'm doing great. How about you today, sir?
I'm well, and the thing I'll add is if the kid can pull my leg and get me to say it on the radio, then she feels like she gets, like, what is it, a triple word scored Scrabble? Then she really enjoys it.
She's got the bonus points already. She's got your goat already.
Yeah, so we'll see. Have you had a coronavirus test or not?
I have not. They were very short supply in Minnesota up until recently, and I think I've been doing enough sheltering at home that I think I'm probably okay for now, but that may change.
Yeah, well, me too. I was just asking about the test, if they asked you to sit on your hands, that's all. Tell me about this poll that's out. About 75% are saying, for the love of gosh, whatever it is, just accept what happens, please.
Yeah, it's interesting. This is a USA Today poll that said about three quarters of us saying that no matter what happens, let's just let the election resolve it. If Trump wins, if Biden wins, whatever it is, even if there's a few irregularities, let's just move on. And that's 75%. But there's a troubling part here that about 25%, if we throw in Democrats and Republicans, who say that, well, you know, if my side loses, or if we've got some beliefs that there may have been some election fraud or other irregularities, well, you know, maybe a little bit of violence is okay. Or maybe in some cases, Trump shouldn't be required to leave office if he's got proof of some fraud. So, you know, this is a half full or three quarters full, quarter empty. I'm not sure what the metaphor is here. Good news is three quarters say, let's just move on. A quarter is saying violence in the streets might be okay.
Now, that is from both sides or not?
Yes, from both sides. By the time you add them up together, you've got about a quarter of the population that are saying that if there's some type of dispute in the election, and it, you know, ranges from, let's say, you know, allegations of fraud to down to just simply, you know, stink, my side lost, you know, and maybe some violence in the street is okay to protest that. So it's a pretty broad range within that quarter, and it's throwing in both the Democrats and Republicans.
You know, we always go back to 2000 with, you know, and again, some people think that the Bush Supreme Court, if you want to call it that, and I'm just telling you what people think, you know, David, gave the election to George Bush, but Al Gore After the Supreme Court ruled, just, you know, so everybody stand down. We got a new not that anybody was really standing up, but we got a new president. Right. And we just move on and so forth. And I just wonder if that same thing, and you and I have had this conversation before, but yeah. if that same thing were to happen in these times, 2020 ain't 2000, is it?
No, we're looking at a generation later. And you know, Al Gore was quite gracious, you know, that, you know, even after the Supreme Court ruled against him, you know, he said he didn't like the decision, but the Supreme Court spoke and he, you know, he was going to accept the decision. In fact, people forget that, you know, even after the popular vote, there's still the Electoral College has to meet, and then the new Congress actually has to do the final, you know, sort of ratification, or whatever you're going to call it, you know, counting of the electoral votes. Al Gore presided over that in 2001 and basically declared George Bush to be the winner. So that's, you know, I'm trying not to be partisan here, but, you know, I'm trying to say straight down the middle, but that's pretty gracious, you know, for somebody to have said, you know, I don't like the result, but, you know, at the end of the day, that's the result.
I totally agree with you, David. I really do, and I've said that before, and people say, well, he didn't have a choice. He could have made it ugly. He did have a choice. Right. He could have made it ugly and taken to the podium and said, by God, the Supreme Court stole this. Are we going to let that happen in this country? And he still would not have won, but it would have been ugly. And I guess I just wonder, and we can talk about this when we come back, if there is any more grace in politics. And you know, I think people are becoming more aware, maybe, of the importance of the Senate and the House in terms of majorities and presidential agendas, et cetera, and Supreme Court nominees and all of that. And I just wonder if this extends down then to who's gotten the majority in the Senate or the House, because then in addition to 50 different elections, you have a lot more than that if you look at House seats, et cetera. And I don't know where we go if we don't trust the results of the elections we have. 6:50, 10 till 7, of course, going with that, you got to make sure that you do everything you can beforehand and make sure everybody can vote and that the election is as honest as possibly can be. Here's traffic now on WWL. It is 6:56 now. Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to David Hamlin. And I think I should occasionally, he's our friend, he's on a professor of political science at Hamlin University, but he's a three-time Fulbright scholar. He's written more than 35 books and 200-plus articles on various aspects of politics, law, and economics. So this is not what you do. This is your life, isn't it, David?
It is my life. Either I'm well-educated or I'm just a nerd. I'm not sure which it is.
Well, nerds make the world go round, because if not, I don't know where we'd be. We'd be big and muscular and strapping and starving to death and dying of disease in the dark. Tell me about the Electoral College, narrowing this down to what the election could come down to. And I guess, would it matter if it's a landslide one way or the other? Are we going to have more trouble if it's popular vote and one wins popular, one wins the Electoral College? And where does, if I can throw one more question in this lengthy one and give you 2 minutes to respond, where does the anger of the country, you look at what happened at that senior citizen's home in Florida, the video that the president retweeted and then took down, and the tone of incivility there, you look at the protests in the streets, is the nation just ripe to get out there and have at it?
Well, let's start with the last one first. Anger can clearly be a motivating force for why people vote, but anger is also not a good passion. I was going to say, you know, when I was a little kid, not a little kid, but when I was a teenager, I used to work on cars with friends, and I had a friend, like if the bolt didn't come off of some part, you know, he would take his wrench or a hammer, he would smack it, and he would feel good for about a 1/10,000th of a second, you know, and then made it worse. And some of you listeners probably know what I'm talking about like that. And, you know, anger might make you feel really good for a second here, but longer term, it doesn't really help. And so I mention this because it might get people out to vote, but the anger, the passion, the heated passion might cause the problems that we talked about before break in terms of the poll, where somebody gets so upset that their side didn't win that they're not going to accept the results. Now, looking at this again, just to remind everybody, ignore all national polls. They're saying that Biden has a big lead. Polls are not predictive. They're snapshots in time. Things can change. But also remember, it's the race to get the 270 electoral votes, not the popular vote. By my estimates now, we're down to seven states that really matter in terms of maybe eight states that matter in terms of the Electoral College are going to decide the election. And within those seven states, there's about 11 counties that matter. If we put it into real numbers here, we're probably looking at no more than I'm going to guess somewhere between 25 and 50,000 people strewn across seven states that are going to really decide this election. Unless, of course, things just dramatically change in the next 4 months, which, of course, they can.
Can you limit polling to those areas, or have you?
That's what I do at this point. I'm only looking at the polls now in the places, for example, like Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Florida, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Arizona, places like that. And in those states right now, the polls are suggesting, again, that Biden has a lead, some cases beyond margin of error. But again, I still want to come back and point out to people that we're just getting ready to hit July 1st. We still have, what, 4 months, 5 months, 4 months for the election. Yep. At this point. Lots of things can change. And so you don't want to say what's happening now is a predictor of what's going to happen in 4 months, because we saw what happened 4 years ago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.